You are listening to the Stain Gang Podcast, presented by the Greater Texas Ford Dealers on the Midwestern State Digital Network. The Stain Gang Podcast gives an inside view into Midwestern State athletics and offers an opportunity to catch up with student-athlete alumni, relive stories, and discover where they are now. It's the Stain Gang Podcast, presented by the Greater Texas Ford Dealers on the Midwestern State Digital Network.
Everyone is trying to do their part, especially now. And your Ford dealer is built to lend a hand. If your vehicle needs service, just call. Ford service centers are essential to your community and are still open. Find out about pickup and delivery options from participating Ford dealers. Plus, they've implemented enhanced cleaning measures for added peace of mind. After all, you have a lot to take care of. Let us do our part and help take care of you.
Welcome to today's edition of the Stain Gang Podcast, presented by the Greater Texas Ford Dealers. I am Trey Reed. Today, I am joined by Midwestern State alum Richard Johnson. Johnson was a two-time All-Lone Star Conference first-team performer, competing for the then Indians during the 1997, 98, and 98-99 seasons. He helped MSU to the 1999 South Central Region semifinals as the Indians hosted the regionals for the first time as an NCAA Division II institution. The transfer from Baylor averaged 17.7 points and 6.4 rebounds per game during his two seasons with the Indians. Johnson currently serves as the varsity assistant basketball coach at Lake Highlands High School and teaches physical education classes. We welcome Richard Johnson to the Stain Gang Podcast. Very excited to have you with me.
Hey, how's it going? I'm excited to be here.
It's what a special time, fun time. I know personally I was coming out of the Army and back into Wichita Falls at the time, and got a lot of enjoyment out of watching you and your teammates for those years. And that love ended up me having been here for the last 15 or so years and finally being a sports information director. So really this does mean a lot to have you with us.
Yes, sir. I'm glad to be here. Midwestern did a lot for me, and anything I can do to help out, I mean, I'm willing to do it.
First, let's get caught up. You've been connected with the game of basketball throughout much of your life and continue on that track as the assistant coach, as we mentioned, at Lake Highlands. I also remember you coaching with your former teammate here in Wichita Falls at Rider High. Where's your career taking you in between?
Well, when I left Rider, I was there for 2 years, 05 to 07, with Craig Snodgrass. We had some pretty good teams. And during that time, my son was born in 2006, so I wanted to get back to Dallas, get back to the Metroplex, because my family was still in Dallas when I was in Wichita Falls, you know, to try to fill it out and everything. And so when he was born in 2006, I went back to Dallas and I started coaching. I was coaching at middle school basketball, at Long Middle School, and I did that for like 3 or 4 years. And after that, I got back into high school. And I was coaching at Conrad High School. I was from 2008 to 2011. I was at Long, then Conrad. I've been there from 2011 to 2019. And I've been the head girls coach for the past 7 years. And then this year I'm back on the boys side with Lake Highlands High School. Sorry.
Especially going from the women's game to the boys game or men's game, is that a transition for you? Do you find it different challenges?
The guys are better, can do more things. I think the girls' side is more of a coach. The coaches has a bigger impact on the game or whatever. On the guys, you know, if you got a couple of good players, I mean, you can get a lot done on the boys' side like that.
And now with the coronavirus impacting all of us, but you know, you're having to, as a PE teacher and as a coach, how's that impacting what you do day to day right now, Richard?
It's been very difficult. I mean, teaching online with my course PE, we're more active doing things. So, you know, it's hard for me to judge or keep my kid. Well, I can't keep them active really, you know, by me being online, but I try to, you know, just, you know, be more positive with them and, you know, thinking outside of the box, not just about PE. Now it's about life, you know, kids living situations, making sure they're okay, making sure the families are staying safe. And I'm trying to, you know, make sure they're staying healthy and being positive about everything that's going on.
So instead of activities, maybe it's nutrition, stuff like that?
Yes, and also, you know, how you're eating and, you know, using this time to bond with your family because, I mean, even during this time, it's helped me out a lot because normally I was at the school coaching, doing a lot at the school, but now I'm at home with my family, you know, and I think this time has brought us closer also.
So you're looking back in time, what drew you to the game of basketball? When did you start playing?
My dad, as a young kid, my dad going watching my dad play, and you know, it was just something that I just started playing. My dad used to work out with me doing it, and you know, from a young kid, I mean, I tasted success doing it, and it's just something that just been driving me my whole life. Still chasing that same success, trying to get better, and keep trying to improve my game.
You're listening to the Stain Gang podcast presented by the Greater Texas Ford Dealers on the Mustangs Digital Network. I'm visiting with former men's basketball standout Richard Johnson. And Richard, let's take the time to let you introduce the important people of your life. I know you have a wife and two sons, and we'll add on this too. How are they following in your footsteps?
Well, my wife, you know, she's going to support me whatever I decide to do. And my kids, you know, they seeing how dad was good at basketball, we go to games and, you know, some of the older people come to them and talk about how good your dad was and all this and all that. So it kind of drives them because they both, you know, they want to outdo me or be better than I was. And, you know, even as far as with me training them, I train them that way to do some of the things that I wasn't as good as, you know. And, you know, it's just, and then they go out and experience success doing it, and you know, everybody's happy about it.
So who's the better shooter in the family?
I'm going to have to give it to my oldest son. He's a pretty good shooter, man. Well, he shoots more than I did, but he got it down. He's going to be a good one.
So he's already past dad?
I mean, he doesn't have the drive that I have, but he has the skill set. He has a great skill set. Now, if he get the drive and the heart and passion like me, man, we might be watching him on TV.
Let's do it. I'd love to see him in maroon and gold, but, you know, he'd be great to follow.
Yes.
I imagine go ahead, Richard. I'm sorry.
Oh, and then he used to wanted to wear number 2. And the last couple of years, he's been wearing number 20, so I don't know.
Maybe he has been watching those old game films and knowing that what dad accomplished wearing that number.
Yes, exactly.
I imagine you were a standout when you graced the halls at Garland High School. What sports did you play there?
At Garland, I was it was kind of crazy because I came in, me and my friends, we always play football, basketball, ran track. So I got there and I was supposed to play football, but the first day, I mean, I've been knowing the high school coach. He used to come watch me play in middle school, so I've been knowing him. But the first day of school, he brought all the basketball guys in, and he was like, you know, all the freshmen, y'all go in the locker room. And so I got up to go in the locker room, and he was like, no, Richard, you sit right here. So, you know, and I'm like, what? And so I started on the varsity as a freshman, and that just, you know, that from right there, that knocked out the basket, that knocked out football right there. It's like, go play freshman football or play varsity basketball. So I was like, I told my buddy, well, I won't be at football. I'm going to stay in basketball. And then, you know, we would get back together and we run track. And I was a high jumper in track. And I just, you know, that probably come from playing basketball. I was natural. I mean, 6'4", I could do that every track meet. So, you know, football and basketball have been my two main sports.
So you started as a freshman in high school. Were you already 6'4" or close to that at that point?
Yeah, I was about 6'2". And like I said, my dad taught me a lot about playing basketball. And, you know, 6'2", and I could jump. I was athletic. And I'm playing center as a freshman, you know. And it's crazy because in high school, I played against Joe Washington. When Joe was a senior at Duncanville, I was a freshman at Garland, and we were in the same district. So Joe kills me, goes for like 33 points on me, 11 for 13. You know, he kills me in high school, and then I come to Midwestern, and Joe's my teammate.
Tell you what, what a player that Joe Washington was, and he came coming from Duncanville. Imagine some of those South Garland Garland. I mean, I said South Garland because I remember playing at Plano myself, and playing the Garland schools. But Garland High and Duncanville. Imagine those were some knockdown dragouts.
Man, they were. I mean, my mom kept all those newspaper articles and clippings, so I go back and, relook at those. And, I mean, I can still remember a lot of the games myself, the high school games. But, yeah, I go back and look at those old clippings, and it was some good basketball going on in those times.
It certainly was. I remember even back in my time, it's like I ran into, Greg Ostertag, and I'm not 6'4", Richard, so there's no way I could deal with that.
That exactly. I'm glad I missed him. When they were seniors, I was in the eighth grade, so I'm glad I didn't. I'd rather play Joe than play Greg Ostertag.
For sure. That wasn't all they had either. Oh, my goodness.
No, Duncan, they had Robin Ringo.
Yes.
Yes.
So you signed with Baylor to play basketball at high school. What was that period like, and what was your time like playing with the Bears?
It was some hard times, I mean, I signed with them. They were going into the Big 12 my sophomore year, so my freshman year was the last year of the Southwest Conference. So I was like, okay, Baylor's not that good, so I can come in and make an impact, just be able to play my game. And so I went there with that intention, and, I got there, worked out, and, everything was going good. I started my first four games my freshman year, and after that things kind of start playing time getting cut lower. Coach wanted to go with other his older players, and so I went through it my freshman year, and I was like, well, okay, maybe it was just because I was a freshman or whatever. And my sophomore year starts, and I play my two exhibition games, and I play like 12 minutes to 15 minutes in both games. And we trying to do five in, five out, and I'm in the second rotation. I'm not getting that much playing time. And so, at that point, I felt I couldn't reach my dreams, my goals, playing like this. And, nobody in my family had went through it before to kind of tell you, oh, it's okay, you're going to go through this, whatever, whatever. So, I'm thinking, I can't play basketball. This is how I express myself. This is what I do, and it's being taken away from me. So I decided to, transfer and, try something else. And then that's where I meet Abar Rouse. And Abar, he had came from Midwestern. So when he was at Baylor, it was his junior year, and it was my freshman year. And so this Abar used to always talk about Midwestern this, Wichita Falls. And I'm like, I never heard of Wichita Falls. I never heard of Midwestern. And so, I came on a visit over the Christmas break. Nobody at Midwestern. And, so I still committed just because I wanted to play basketball. That's what drove me, the basketball, playing basketball, competing. And I came to Midwestern, and, it was just everything changed. My love for the game changed, and it just took off from there.
And you're listening to the Staying Gang podcast brought to you by the Greater Texas Sport Dealers. We'll continue our conversation with Midwestern State alum Richard Johnson and talk about his time at Midwestern State coming up next.
Everyone is trying to do their part, especially now. And your Ford dealer is built to lend a hand. If your vehicle needs service, just call. Ford service centers are essential to your community and are still open. Find out about pickup and delivery options from participating Ford dealers. Plus, they've implemented enhanced cleaning measures for added peace of mind. After all, you have a lot to take care of. Let us do our part and help take care of you.
The Staying Gang podcast, presented by the Greater Texas Sport Dealers, continues. I am Trey Reed, and our guest today is MSU alum Richard Johnson. And Richard, we talked about your transition coming in from Baylor, but your time to adapt to Division II seemed to go amazingly well as you earned first-team All-Lone-Star Conference honors as a junior in 97-98. You averaged 19 points and shot 43% from three-point range and also pulled down 6.5 rebounds per game. What was it like, one, transitioning, and two, playing for a new coach with Jeff Ray?
The transition was great for me because, remember, I only got to play two exhibition games my whole sophomore year. So that was taken away from me. So it's like I hadn't been on the court, really just playing in front of a crowd. So I was ready to get back out on the court. And, you know, I think like my first game, we played an exhibition game and I had like 34 points. So, you know, it was just, you know, the transition was great. And, you know, coming from Coach Miller at Baylor to Coach Ray at Midwestern, and it was like night and day. And Coach Ray, I mean, probably my favorite coach, my best coach, you know, and it was just, I mean, I loved him. I loved his style. I loved everything about him. And, you know, he allowed me to do what I could do.
When you talk about playing those two exhibition games as a sophomore, you didn't get that year back. It seems so strange. And in today's world where you play two and you'd get that redshirt year, that had a pretty big impact on you, didn't it?
Yes, it did. I think now about like how good could I have gotten, you know, with another year to play. And Coach tried, I mean, he tried to get it appealed like several times through the NCAA, and they rejected it like two or three times. But he fought for it because, oh, man, that could have been a nice, I mean, me getting to play with that team, the 99-2000 team was real good too.
It was. In fact, when you look at the buildup of the team, you guys didn't necessarily find the kind of success you wanted your junior year, finishing 11-15 with a few injuries that you guys had, but really took off your senior year when you won 27 games, won the LSE postseason tournament, and hosted the South Central Regionals. What was that year like for you?
Oh, man. I mean, coming from the junior year, you know, it started off, you know, a lot of adrenaline flowing. You know, I hadn't played. Me, Tony Avizano, Charlie Bennett, we all came in together. You know, Jerome Jackson and Craig Snodgrass was there. So, you know, and, you know, Karan Taylor, some other guys or whatever. But our team wasn't that good my junior year. But I was just happy to be back on the court. You know, we were still losing a lot of close games because, like I said, Coach Ray, Coach Giddens, great coaches. They had us in the games. We just didn't have that manpower. And so, you know, after my junior year, we trimmed the fat a little bit. We cut some players. And Coach goes out and brings in five junior college players. And our team, we go from average to, like, superstars quick.
You look at some of the guys that you played for, some characters and for sure, including Craig Snodgrass. And, you know, mentioned a few others, Jerome Jackson, Donald Hamilton, Terrence Thomas, Rodney Beasley, Charlie Bennett, Tony Avizano, and Edgar Arteaga. And well, you can just go on and on, but there aren't many teams in D2 that are that deep for sure. But what are some of the things you remember most about that group?
Man, that team there, it was so crazy. It was just different. On the court, we together. Off the court, we're together. We Saturday nights after a game, we would go out together. We were like, you couldn't separate us. I mean, like now teams, you know, teams got a lot of cliques within the teams. But us, I mean, we had cliques, but when we would all go somewhere, we was always together. We go to Hawaii, man, you should have just seen how much fun we had. But we enjoyed being around each other. We enjoyed fighting for each other. And that team was just special.
What are some of the times you remember throughout that year? You guys got off to a really quick start, went to Hawaii, and I don't have it in front of me, but you guys were nearly unbeaten through about Christmas. But how did that raise your guys' confidence and expectations at that point?
Oh, man, it was crazy. I mean, we were just playing basketball. It didn't – I mean, we started the season 11-0, but it wasn't like, you know – we thought we were too good, and we enjoyed going out playing hard, just playing. And we go to – so we 11-0. We had a couple of close games here and there. You know, we played UCO with Eddie Robinson. He goes to the NBA. But, I mean, it's like 108 to 120 final score. And it's like we had some crazy games during that time. And then we're 11-0. We go to Hawaii, and we lose our first game in Hawaii. You know, we just come out. We play bad. Okay, so we win the next one. We come back. We open up conference the beginning of the new year. We open up conference with Tarleton. Then they beat us the first conference game. So it's like I mean, we were just 11-0, and we done lost our next three games. We done lost two out of our next three games. And then all of a sudden, we go on 11-0 straight in conference. We went 8 in a row, so many games in a row in conference, and, you know, that just, you know, let everybody know that we were back. You know, that was just the flu or whatever. This is the real Indians right here.
And it's good to say, isn't it, the Indians, you know?
Yes.
Going back to that conference tournament as we move ahead there, you guys won a couple close games against East Central and Texas A&M Commerce, and then overcame a big deficit early in the second half to beat Tarleton State 78-62. And as they came in as the number four seed in the South, the Texans did, and Tarleton had beaten Southeastern Oklahoma and West Texas A&M on the road. And that was back in the day where there wasn't a neutral host. It's like they had to travel Tuesday, Thursday, and then play the championship game on Saturday. But they got off to a great start at Ligon. But the crowd was electric that night, and you guys had a really big second half. What do you remember of that game and of the crowd in that atmosphere?
Oh, man, that game was – I mean, it started – the crowd started after retro night. We played Abilene Christian, and you couldn't even see the floor nowhere in the gym. You had people standing on the court. And it was that – from that night on, the rest of our home games were, like, was packed every night. So, you know, the crowd was always into it. And so we're in the conference tournament. I think we're down, like, 10 to Tarleton. But we felt we knew we could still beat them because we beat them in a tough one at Tarleton earlier in the season or whatever. So, man, we came out the second half, and we went on a run that was, like, crazy. And I remember we just hit a – I think I just hit a big three, and their coach called timeout, and the energy from our crowd, man, I got chills walking to the bench, and I'm like, oh, man, it was crazy.
When I think back on that, you guys had a few really big fans, and one I can remember specifically. In fact, some of his lords, Pete Vargas, he got kicked out of the game, and so the next game he shows up in an orange prison outfit. Hilarious. what do you remember about those guys?
Man, they're crazy, man, because I still talk to Pete. Pete sent me a message on Facebook, and that's why I like this social media stuff, because people can just reach out and, Richard, you remember this or whatever, and it's bring back good memories, man. Those were good times. But the fans, the community, man, Wichita Falls, I mean, it was the place to be at that time, man. Everything was good, man. I was enjoying life. You know, I wish I could go back to those days and not have a worry in the world. You just go play basketball and take care of yourself and, you know, just enjoy yourself.
So you guys come back, you win that big game against Tarleton to win the Lone Star Conference postseason tournament title. And then it was a big surprise that the Indians were selected to host the South Central Regional. How big was it for you guys to be able to host and play in front of that crowd again?
That was like you could have automatically moved our name to wherever the next site is going to be, because we know we're going to take care of business at home. And I mean, we love playing at home. A coach used to say sometimes we play better on the road, but we wanted to play at home. We've had a lot of Saturday night games at home, man. That was like the best place to be.
Then you look back at that tournament, and the SID at the time, Stan Wagnon, I mean, he always said, well, the team brought out the whole town of Wichita Falls, and he had a second part to that, but I'll leave that one out for at this point. But you guys ran into a red hot Truman State team, not really the ending that you guys had hoped for, but what a season it was. What do you take from being a part of such a deep and talented team and playing in that kind of environment?
That was so special. I mean, I wish everybody played sports could feel that the way that, because that's the way it was supposed to be. You know, we didn't win the championship, but it was just, you know, all of the stuff that we put into it. Everyone knew that we all put it all out there. So if we won or lost, we were still satisfied because we knew how much we had put into it. And I mean, that's what it's about right there.
And I've got to ask this in a different way, because you guys were such a tight team and had different strengths. But if I were to ask your teammates, what would they say it was like to play with Richard Johnson?
I think they would say it was good. They had, I mean, it was fun, you know. I've been actually watching some of these old films, and I'm like, you know, just like critiquing the game or whatever. But man, we were a good team. We played together. It wasn't a ball hog, you know. I may have been the leading scorer, but you know, I wanted to see. I got just as much excitement watching somebody else score or making that pass to the leads to the pass to the assist or whatever. You know, I got just as excited watching other guys score. You know, so. You know, I think they enjoyed playing with me and, you know, on and off the court because we had a lot of good times.
You talk about different things that people could do. Terrence Thomas could hit a big shot whenever you need it. Jerome Jackson, he was going to put the ball in the basket. He was the South Division Player of the Year the next year. I mean, just all these different guys. Then you had 2 point guards that were totally different with Craig Snodgrass and Donald Hamilton. That had to be totally different. And not to pick on Donald, but did you ever see a guy with – such great form that hit the three as well as Donald did?
I had, man. When we brought Donald in, I think he came in on a visit. And I'm like, man, who is this guy Coach got, man? And, you know, I didn't think he could play. And, man, he was a different. But Coach used to tell us, like, Donald used to have, like, 30-point games sometime in junior college or whatever. And I was like, how could this little dude do that right there? And he got on the court, and I was like, oh, okay, I can see that now. Yeah, Donald's nice.
Then the spark plug kind of that team, Tony Avezzano, it seemed to be really emotional most of the time.
Yes, yes, yes. You know, Tony was always serious. You know, he was, I mean, it was no playing. He wanted to be serious. He wanted to come out, take care of business. And everybody, you already knew, you don't crack jokes with Tony, not during the game or anything like that. You know, off the court, Tony was cool. But, yeah, it was game time. Tony was, yes, he had his game face on.
And of course, your big guys, Rodney Beasley, Charlie Bennett, Edgar Arteaga. I mean, what a front court that is.
Man, nice. That was nice right there.
So when you look back and you at Midwestern State, what were some of your more lasting memories that you take with you?
You know, just the family culture that we, you know, we had on the basketball team. I mean, being led from up top, Coach Ray, the daddy of all of us, man, and it's just, you know, it was always love, and it was always about the team, and it was about togetherness, and, you know, the city of Wichita Falls, you know, how they just accepted us, how they were for the basketball team. Do you hear stories like that, how the whole town comes out? But I actually saw it. I witnessed it, you know, and it was just special, and it was just how all of us from different places, how we could all come together and just be on one accord and agree on this and share the basketball and, you know, just spend time. So it was just the family thing of the basketball and everything. It was great.
And it was contagious. I can tell you this from somebody that watched and got drawn in as well. And really thank you for joining me today, Richard. It's been a pleasure.
You're welcome, and I'm glad to be here. And if I could come back again later on and, you know, help out or whatever, just let me know. I'll be here.
For sure. I'm going to take you up on that, Richard.
All right. Sounds good.
This concludes today's edition of the Stain Gang Podcast with MSU men's basketball alum Richard Johnson. I am Trey Reed. Thank you for joining us for the Stain Gang Podcast on the Midwestern State Digital Network. The Stain Gang Podcast, presented by the Greater Texas Ford Dealers, drops daily, Monday through Friday, on the Midwestern State Digital Network. We invite you to keep up with the podcast on social media at MSU Mustangs on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Want to listen to or download the cast? Go to MSUMustangs.com/podcasts. You've been listening to the Stain Gang Podcast, presented by the Greater Texas Ford Dealers on the Midwestern State Digital Network.